Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. How amazing to see young men proclaim their faith in Jesus through baptism. What a wonderful opportunity that we had this morning. I hope you had a really good Thanksgiving. I hope that you had an opportunity to enjoy time with friends and with family. I love how every Thanksgiving our nation would carve out some time to meditate on the things that we're thankful for. I think that's actually a really good thing, really good habit to have for us. But at the same time, I know that for some of us this morning, we might not feel like there's much there's much for us to be thankful for. Maybe you lost a job or a loved one this past year, or things have been rough at home or at work. Maybe even things like you or someone else that you know might have made decisions that have affected people around them in a negative way. And I think a lot of times it might be easy for us, especially in this day and age, to look around and compare the blessings from other people and for us to think, why doesn't God bless me like that? And if I had what they had, I'd certainly be very thankful. But this morning, I want to challenge this notion of what generates thankfulness in our lives. In fact, I want us to see that actually many of us root our thankfulness or even our joy in finances, security, family, comfort, success, relationships, and achievements. So one or if many of those items are not quite right, we have a hard time being thankful. So my question for us this morning is, what if our thankfulness and our joy is ultimately rooted in Jesus Christ? And so for us, I want to turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 this morning, we only have a few verses to go through. But what I want us to see this morning, and where we're heading this morning, is that when our joy, when our thankfulness is rooted in Jesus, our joy grows, when our faith grows. Therefore, we can be thankful during times of various trials. So what I want us to see is that if our joy is ultimately rooted in Christ, then when our faith grows, when there's opportunities for our faith to grow and mature, then our joy will grow because we know that we're trusting Jesus more, so therefore we can be thankful during times of various trials. So let me go ahead, we're going to go ahead and read James verse 2 through verse 4 together. And that's all we're going to cover this morning. And so let's look at verse 2. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So what I wanted to see, a few things this morning. A couple things I should say. The first thing I wanted to see is when our joy is rooted in Christ, our trials do not speak to our joy, but our joy speaks to our trials. When our joy is ultimately rooted in Jesus Christ, if that is the source of our joy and our thankfulness, then our trials, our hard times, our suffering, our difficulties, it will not speak into our joy, but our joy would actually speak into our trials. I mean, let's look at this passage. It sounds absolutely crazy. We have this guy, James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. And he is writing to the 12 tribes. And he's writing to the Jews that dispersed throughout the area. And he's writing to these people who have been suffering quite a bit for their faith. And he's telling them to count it all joy. Or for some of your translations, might be count it pure joy when you meet trials of various kinds. And it sounds absolutely odd. Why in the world would we count these things joyful? Why would James say something like this? It sounds kind of contradicting. It sounds kind of odd. trials, we should count it as joy? Why would he ask us to find it joyful when we have trials and hardships in our lives? Because here's the thing. First and foremost, let's lay down the foundation for this morning. First and foremost, our joy and his joy, right, James's joy, the only reason James can say this is because his joy is not rooted in circumstances, but it's actually rooted in Christ. See, the only reason James can say something like this is because Jesus had died on a cross for his sins and for the sins of all those who place their trust in him. See, he can say this because Jesus was buried on the third day and rose again, conquering sin and death, giving hope for us this morning and conquering death and sin once and for all. And because of this, as Christ's followers, of course, we're not seeking trials intentionally. We're not looking for hard times. And Scripture's not saying that we should go looking for hard times or difficult or painful times. But it says that when those things happen, it does not get a say into our joy. Because our joy is not determined by our circumstances. Our joy is determined by Jesus. And we see this. We see this in Scripture. Like, real quick, if we turn to 2nd, well, you don't have to turn to, I'll turn it for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, when Paul, he's writing to the church in Corinth, he says this in verse 4, he goes, I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. He's talking to this church, man. He loves this church. He goes, I am filled with comfort in all our affliction. I am overflowing with joy. Right, in Acts chapter 5, we see in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41, this is when the apostles, man, just not that long ago, these apostles were scared little boys. Now they're growing up to become these men of faith. And in verse 40, what happens is, you know, they're starting to get arrested and they're getting beat. And we see in verse 40, it goes, and when they had called the apostles, they, which were the people at that time, the ones in authority, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they beat them and charged them not to speak the name of Jesus and then let them go. Then they, which are the apostles, they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And look at this, verse 42. And every day in the temple from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Because that is where their source of joy was. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, just real quick, Paul and Silas, they were arrested for preaching the gospel. They were beaten, thrown in jail. And in the middle of the night, they were singing hymns and praises. You see, the example in Scripture has been laid out. When those who have faith in Christ, their joy is rooted in Christ, so there is no circumstance that can speak into that joy. Because the thing is, joy in our various troubles, like when we see, how we see this joy played out in our various trials, is that there's a deep sense of trust, a deep desire and longing to delight in Jesus and delight in His sovereignty, which is His rule over your life. And there's a deep sense of trusting in Jesus. That's how they can have joy, because they know that Jesus is in charge and they know He has conquered the worst for them in their life. So what I'm saying this morning is that we don't have to be emotionally happy. And there could be deep hurts in our lives. Deep hurts, tears, frustration, sadness. And I know some of us are struggling with that this very morning. I know that lives have been lost and friends and family have recently just passed away. I know that marriages right now feel very joyless and it's difficult and it's hard. I know the feeling, or I can empathize with the feeling when you feel like your children have gone astray. I can sense and see that, you know, we are people, it's really hard for us to say, I have joy, but it's much easier to just look at our circumstances. circumstances to say, well, whether I can be thankful or joyful this season or not. But it is a deep sense and conviction that God loves you, that He has not forsaken you, and that no circumstance can change that. That is where our joy is rooted. It's the deep confidence in Jesus that He will ultimately prevail and that He is with you and you are with Him. Sometime between the years 1880 and 1882, incredibly clear on that, Louisa Stead, with her husband and her four-year-old daughter, Lily, they decided to go to have a picnic at the beach at Long Island Sound, New York. While they were there, having a picnic on the beach, they heard a young boy screaming for help, drowning in the ocean. So Mr. Stead goes and rushes out to try to save this young boy, save his life as he's drowning in the ocean. But ultimately for him, for the boy, they end up both drowning. With the husband's passing, it left Louisa and Lily, their four-year-old daughter, in various financial and, of course, clearly emotional hardship. Back in those 1800s, especially when the husband passes away, it makes it very, very hard. And in those days that followed, Louisa sat down as she continued to see and experience the goodness of Jesus, which is an odd thing for us to say when your husband goes and tries to save a boy, trying to do a good thing and ends up losing his life. Seeing the goodness of Jesus, Louisa penned these words, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promises, and to know, thus saith the Lord.'" And she keeps on writing in the chorus, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more." What an amazing example of joy being rooted in Jesus. So that joy can speak into the most difficult time in some of our lives. The question for us this morning, is your joy on a roller coaster? Is it merely determined by the circumstances around you? If it is, may I simply ask, do you find your highest, deepest, and purest joy in Jesus? Or is your joy rooted in something else other than Jesus Christ? I am blood bought by my Lord and Savior. So I will never experience or be enslaved again by the hopelessness and despair of the ultimate of sin and death and separation from my God. You see, there is nothing on earth that can ever steal that joy away from me. And there's nothing in this world that can steal that joy away from you if you are someone who proclaims your trust in Jesus, just like what we saw this morning. So we should bask and immerse ourselves in that joy, church. Preach that gospel to yourself. Cherish that gospel. Hold on tight to the hope in that gospel. The gospel means good news. That is our good news. That good news is so much greater than any good news we can ever have, that it will never trump anything else we experience today. There's no news better than that one. And so when we have the best news, all other joys fall under that. So we hold tight to that. Because we are a people that we don't move from the gospel. The gospel is not just a starting point for our lives, church. The gospel is not a starting point for any of us. The gospel is something that we build our lives around. Because it's good news. We are a people that build our lives around the gospel. We are a people that surround ourselves by the gospel, because it's our source of hope and joy and peace and restoration. Our joy doesn't take roller coasters. We take guided tours to see where the depths of the darkness our joy in Christ can shine. Our joys don't take roller coasters. We take guided tours to see where the depths of the darkness our joy can shine. So if with that as our foundation, and James' foundation, that joy is ultimately rooted in Jesus, let's kind of go back to verse 2 to 4 to see why he would say, count it all joy when we do face trials and meet trials of various kinds. So here's the thing, when our joy grows, when our faith grows, therefore we can be thankful in times of various troubles. Our joy grows when our faith grows. Because if our joy is rooted in Jesus, the more our faith in Christ grows, our joy grows with it. The more we know how to trust Him, our joy grows with it. So we can be thankful during times of various troubles and trials. So James says, right? He says, count it all joy, not if, but when you meet trials of various kinds. He doesn't say that we should take joy in the trials itself. I'm not saying that we should go, yay, we're so glad that we're having trials, but he's saying to count on joy when we have the opportunities of trials when it presents itself. Because trials are testing of faith. That's what Scripture says, right? That is a testing of faith. And it's a testing of faith that produces endurance or steadfastness. That spiritual endurance and toughness shapes your faith into something that is mature and that is whole. So what essentially the argument James is saying is that when you have trials, those trials produce steadfastness. It's a testing. And when the steadfastness to its full effect, the endurance to its full effect, what it produces out of you is that your faith will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So in other words, what he's saying that your faith becomes mature and whole. It grows. To put it another way, the trials of the spiritual weights that help us develop our faith. Those are what trials are. See, this word testing, when he says that the trials is a testing of your faith, this word testing is the same word when they test precious metals during that time. So what they'll do is they'll take a whole bunch of silver or precious metals. Let's use silver. They dump it in a big pot. They heat this pot up really, really hot. And what happens when you start testing the silver, when you heat this metal up, the silver melts. All the impurities, what they call dross, or all the junk, it rises to the top. And what they do is they'll scrape off the top of the impurities, because that's not silver. They want pure silver, and that stuff that comes to the top is not silver. So they wipe that off, throw that up again, and they go over and over and over again, and they know that they're done when they look into the silver, when it's done, and they can see their own reflection. And this is what Jesus is trying to do with us. He is boiling us over and over again, testing us until He can look down and see that we reflect His image. So as our faith grows in maturity, our faith gets stronger. So our joy grows as well. Because it allows us to know and love Jesus in a deeper and more intimate way. It gives us the ability to experience His love and care that we never experience apart from the testing. Take the caterpillar, for instance. I think a lot of us probably have learned how a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Or at least the very basics of it. And so there's a lot of things that go into it. It's pretty amazing, but I won't get into that. But kind of the end part is the caterpillar would start, weaving its what they call a cocoon or chrysalis. And so what happens is that they weave this thing, they're in the chrysalis, and they're there for a while. But I want to focus on when it actually transforms and is coming out. The thing is, when this butterfly wants to come out and break free from their chrysalis or cocoon, they can't get help. Did you know that? If you try to help a butterfly break out on its own, it will not develop the strength in its wings to fly, and it will ultimately die. You see, the butterfly develops its strength in the struggle. It must go through the struggle so it can fly. As believers, our strength of our faith is developed in the struggle. The famous 19th century British pastor, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, nicknamed the Prince of Preachers. What an amazing nickname is that, huh? Writes in his devotional, Morning and Evening, "Untested faith may be true faith, but it is sure to be small faith. It is likely to remain little as long as it is without trials." I'll read that again. "Untested faith may be true faith, but it is sure to be small faith, and it is likely to remain little as long as it is without trials." See, for us, the natural reaction to trials and hardships will really shine a light into our understanding and our faith in God and His Word. It will actually allow us to see if we truly believe in the unmerited grace of God, or if we still live with a merit-based faith in righteousness. I'll give you this example. When difficult times, when trials enter your life, do you either feel like God is punishing you because you're not good enough? Or do you think that you deserve something more because of the things you have done? You might say, "I've been praying and spending time reading scripture. I serve. I am a good person. I tithe. I go to worship. I go to fellowship. I do X, Y, and Z. I do all these things, God. But why do I always get the short end of the stick?" I've heard that time and time again. Or we might say, "I haven't been doing these things. I haven't been praying. I haven't been spending communing with God. I've been skipping church, or I've been really struggling, and I've been making a lot of these decisions that have just been difficult," and we go, "Well, of course I deserve this." And we think our actions should either merit God's favor or God's anger. But James doesn't say this, does he? He sees all trials as an opportunity to trust Jesus more. He sees it as an opportunity to strengthen his faith and deepen his joy in Jesus. So he welcomes it when he knows, while it is painful, the benefit outweighs the cost. The maturity, wholeness, beauty, and strength of our faith can only be developed in the struggle. Can only be developed in the struggle. So church, this morning, many of us come in heavy laden, heavy hearts, frustrated with our circumstances of life. Yet, if we say that we proclaim Christ as our Savior and our joy, we have to see these struggles and trials as opportunities for us to grow and mature in our faith. Because we know Jesus is the faithful one. Because he has endured the greatest suffering. Not because he deserved it, but because we deserved it. And he suffered it on our behalf. He defeated the greatest enemy, death. This is where our joy should really be rooted. This is where our joy should be rooted, in Christ Jesus. So no matter where you are this morning, no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter how painful or how difficult your trials or your struggles may be this morning, and I don't want to discount any of it, because I know a lot of us this morning are suffering, and it has been hard, and it has been difficult, and it is emotionally draining, and it is frustrating. But at the same time, we can be thankful this Thanksgiving, because trials allow us to trust Jesus in ways we can't trust Him otherwise. A lot of us have grown up hearing this phrase that Jesus will not give you more than you can handle. But I'm telling you this morning, that phrase is not true, because He gives you way more than you can handle, because what He wants you to do is not handle it. He wants you to trust in Him. And that's why He gives you more than you can handle. So you can say, Jesus, I can't handle it. I need You to handle it. And that's the whole point. But so many of us try to handle it on our own. But what James is saying, what Scripture is saying, is that you're not supposed to, but take joy that you can trust Jesus. That when it gets heavy, we can trust in Him and place our faith in Him. And that's why we can be thankful this Thanksgiving, regardless of what is happening in our life. Because it is truly sweet for us to trust in Jesus this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know Your ways. I am not sovereign. I am not in control. I cannot see the future. I don't know how You work past, present, and future for Your glory, our good. I don't know. Nor do I proclaim that I should know, because You are God and I am not. But this morning, all I know is I can trust in Your Savior, Your Son, our Savior, our Lord. I can trust Your grand plan, because Your greatest plan have already saved me from the depths of my darkness and sin. And if You have already saved me, and for all those who have placed faith in You, why would You short us of anything else? So Lord, I pray this morning, as many of us are going through very difficult times, whether losing a loved one, or losing a marriage, or losing kids, or losing a job, or maybe just in the midst of great difficulties and frustration. We might come this Thanksgiving and say, I have nothing to be thankful for. But You remind us, we have everything to be thankful for, because Christ has risen. The grave is empty, and You have saved us from our darkest sins. So may we see every opportunity as an opportunity to strengthen our faith and trust You even more. To trust that you will see us through it all. We love You. We thank You. May we lift our hearts and our voices to sing, that we truly trust in You, and it is truly sweet.